apostolic government, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord God, hallelujah, that we're getting, Lord God, precious nuggets, Lord God, that you just can't find anywhere else, Lord God, hallelujah. And we thank you right now, Lord God, that you have placed us here for such a time as this. And Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit showing up, Lord God, because I lean, rely on, and I rest in him, Lord God. Otherwise, Lord God, in my own ability, I would fall flat on my face. But I'm not in my own ability. I would rest and rely on the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to continue to talk about how to build honor. Last class session, we did five different ways on how to build honor. We talked about wisdom. You know, wisdom, you know, with all that getting, you know, you want to get wisdom. A person who operates in wisdom can't help but build honor in their lives. We talk about walking in humility, you know, and before honor is humility. So you have to first humble yourself and walk in humility before you walk in honor. We talked about integrity and uprightness of heart and how it's so very important that we walk in integrity. We talked about serving, waiting, you know, waiting on your master by serving. And we said that serving, you know, or waiting doesn't imply just sitting around waiting, but it's actually a form of activity where you get busy serving your man or your woman of God. That's so very important. And we also talked about obedience, you know, and how walking in obedience. We said that, you know, that obedience is good, but when you walk in total submission, you're actually walking completely, because you can obey in action, but in heart you might not be there. But when you submit completely, you're really walking in absolute obedience to God and to your man of God. So we're going to move on now, and we're going to begin to talk about the sixth way to build honor. And actually, Apostle just dealt with it. He was talking about our protocol. The sixth way to build honor is observing protocols of the law, honoring all men. And I'm going to give you a definition of protocol. Protocol is a system of rules that explain correct procedures to be followed in a formal situation or formal setting. You know, it's a system of rules. And there's what is known as actually spiritual protocol. And every camp may have different protocol because of the leader. You know, the leader sets the tone for the protocol. You know, give you an example. And this should be at every church, but I remember a couple of years ago, my wife and I went to another church. There was a mighty man of God who was ministering there. He's gone on to be of the Lord, and we had wanted to see him. And so when he walked into the arena, my wife and I stood up. Everybody else was just sitting around kind of talking and, you know, yeah, he's here, you know, good. Well, I guess he's going to minister. But we were just looking around and we said, wow, you know, this man is an apostle, and he's, you know, evangelized all kind of countries, and people just, you know, he walks up on the stage, and it was kind of like, whoa. But that was that protocol for that church wasn't, you didn't honor like that, you know. But we were taught, you know, when a man or guy walks into the arena, walks into the pulpit, when the president walks into a room, they play Hail to the Chief, and everybody stands up. You know, it's just observing, knowing the protocol of the camp that you're in. You know, one of the things I tell a lot of, especially new members, you know, on Sunday, it's to your benefit to get to church early. Because there's time apostle may start ministering at prayer meeting. You know, I mean, there's time we're sitting waiting for prayer meeting. All of a sudden, apostle walks in. The Lord gave me something. I want to show it to y'all. And then he said, we're going to pray. And then the next thing you know, he might minister for 20, 25 minutes, you know. And then when he gets in service, you know, there might not even be no praise and worship. He might just go and say, I'm ready to go. And so now if you are one of those people that come in the middle of praise, you didn't miss half your life. But it's knowing the protocol, knowing the flow of the spirit that the apostolic leader walks in. And one of the things I've learned from apostles, if he says something one time, It's an established law. That's the way I want it done, you know. And so if he says it one time, you know, until he turns and says we're not doing it that way no more, that's the way we're doing it. And it's so very important that we understand the protocol, observing protocols, you know, and honoring all men. Let's look at 1 Peter 2 and 17. 1 Peter 2 and 17. It says in 1 Peter 2 and 17, it says, honor all men, love the brethren, fear God. That word fear means to reverence God. Honor the king. In other words, honor those who are in authority, you know, and understand how they flow and flow with them. And you can't go wrong. You know, you need to flow with the flow of the Spirit that God is using them in. And that's 1 Peter 2 and verse 17 that we just read. When you know who God has gifted, you show honor to those gifts. This is observing protocol. This is saying honor the king, honor those who are in authority. That in honoring, you're honoring the laws of that land or that company or that ministry, whatever laws the king has set up, those are the laws that, you know, because the scripture talks about the king. And basically when it says the king, it's talking about somebody who's in a position of authority. Those are the laws or the instructions. It's vital when you walk in honor that you follow instructions and understand the instructions that you're given and following it to the T. Not diverting from it, but following it. Not trying to come up with your own plan, but following what God has set up. One of the things I've learned to do is that whatever instruction apostle gives that he wants the leadership to do, we follow that. You know, even in prison ministry, you know, if he wants a particular topic or subject taught on, that's all we teach on. You know, and anytime I see somebody diverting from the instruction, you know, we sit down and we have a talk, you know. This is the outline that apostle has given, and this is how we're gonna flow. We're rolling in this direction. You know, even though you might have your own revelation, your own insight, you know, that's good, but that's not what we're about. You know, and one of the things I've learned by doing that is that the minute you start, you know, following instructions to the letter like that, how can I say it? It's almost like God now gives you that extra oomph that you need to carry out the assignment because now you're an integral part of the vision. You're just an extension of the vision of the apostle. You're not... You don't have your own agenda. You're flowing with the man of God, and you're flowing with the agenda and the protocol of the ministry, and that's so very important. Since every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God, when you give honor to the gift that God has placed in men, you are actually giving honor to God. Honor God for blessing that individual and gifting them. The blessing always flows down. You know, the Bible talks about the oil flowing down Aaron's beard, even down to his skirt, all the way down to his feet. When you align properly with God, by following protocol, by flowing with God and flowing with your man or your woman of God, you can't help but be blessed. Because when you honor them, you are actually honoring God. Because you're lining up properly. It's so very important to line up properly. When I go into a prison, they need to see Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. They don't need to see me at all. You know, they need to know where my connection is, where my loyalty is, because You want to be faithful in another man's ministry. You know, I know we have a lot of, you know, people from various churches in the city here. You want to be faithful in your pastor's ministry, hooking up, knowing his vision. You know, one of the things, an apostle stated it earlier, I always tell people, especially new people, I teach the new members class. I said, first and foremost, you need to learn your man of God's heart. Know his heart. You know, when you know his heart, you know what makes him tick. And sometimes he may say things and it may rub you the wrong way. But when you know his heart, you know, my dad, he was a disciplinarian. I've always said that. But I knew his heart. His heart was that he raised his sons to respect authority, to follow instructions, and to make a man out of me and my two brothers. And it was all about, I remember speaking to him the day before he died. I was sitting in the den, he and I was talking. I had dropped my son off because he was starting kindergarten, but kindergarten started a week later than school, so they kept him that week because my daughter was starting school that next day. And he and I talked, and I can tell by the tone and the things he said, he was glad that, you know, my kids were coming up right and you know, things were doing well with me. And it was like, you know, you've learned a lot of lessons and, you know, you still got a long road to go, but I see you making progress. And it made me feel good, you know. And it is something, you know, I keep those words with me, you know, where he was, son, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what you're doing and you know, and just keep it up, you know. Any father wants their children, Apostle said it, to progress further than they did. Any true father wants their sons and daughters to take the torch out of their hand and carry it on to another plateau, carry it on to another level. And that's, you know, that's because what you're doing now is you're establishing legacy. You know, Apostle was talking about pioneering and how a pioneer actually trains somebody now to advance higher than they ever did. You know, and that's so very important. Let's move on. All right. You can't honor the gift without honoring the man. You cannot honor the gift without, because the two are intertwined. They're one and the same. You know, people say, well, I'll honor the anointing and honor the gift, you know, but I got issues with the man. Well, no, you got issues. You can't do it. You can't have it one way or the other. It's the anointing is placed upon the man or the woman of God, the pastor of the church. You know, you need to settle it in your heart that, hey, I'm 100% for them. Recognizing people do make mistakes, but the anointing of God is always accurate. You know, and if you trust your man or woman of God to follow God, you know that God is going to work it out and it's going to flow. And so you honor, you know, you can't honor the gift without honoring the man. The two are one and the same. Hebrews 7, 5 and 6. It says, and verily they that are the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, through though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he who descends is not counted, for they receive tithes of Abraham, and bless them that had the promise. Now, verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed for the better. This scripture refers to upward giving without all contradiction. In other words, there's no way you can get around this. When you sow up, the lesser is blessed because of the better. You know, and in honoring, you want to always, and also too, you how can I say this? Don't sow even, no, Lord help me to say this. Your mindset should always be on, Lord, I'm sowing because what I want, what's on my man of God, what's on my pastor, what I see is happening to him, I want it to happen to me so that now I can be more of a blessing to the people that you've entrusted me with. You know, one of the things apostle always say, you don't want to go after money. You know, you go after the anointing, you go after God. And when you go after God, the money is going to show, because it's a byproduct of the anointing. It's in that. You know, as you grow in the things of God, and God begins to bless you, and you're one with the assignment, you're going to find that God's going to, it's coming back, and it's coming back in ways that you can't even imagine. I'll never forget when the land across the street had came up for sale, and the apostle said, are we going to buy that? We're going to go ahead and buy that land across the street. About 2 minutes, not even 2 minutes later, my wife nudged me on the side. She said, we're going to sow into that. I said, okay. And then she whispered in my ear and shared an amount with me. And I kind of looked at her like, you know, and she said, let's go in the back and talk about it. So we went in the copy room and said, let's pray about it. So we prayed about it, because when she first told me that, it's like, you know, I mean, you know, $20,000 ain't nothing to just, you know, you just, and I had to grip myself first. And so I said, okay. So we sold it. I've shared the story. You know, the very next day, she gets laid off on her job. You know, and the devil said, nah, you can't, you know, you can't do that, because you're going to need that money. I said, no, devil. I said, this seed now becomes precious seed, because it is, you know, it's time stamp sensitive. You know, so God, you got to do something quick, fast, in a hurry. And we sold it. Before the week was out, her job got reinstated. And like I said, she wasn't just the only person that got laid off. It was 200-300 people. Out of those 200-300, she was the only one that got reinstated, got promoted, you know. And also, too, the good thing about it, we took that money out of some investments. And shortly after we did that, the stock split. So when a stock split, if you got $100, now you got $200. If you got $100,000, now you got $200,000. So it just, everything we had just doubled, you know, plus other things. But it wasn't a matter of going after money, but it was a matter of going after the things of God. And our man of God had a vision, and God told him, we're going to do this, you know, because the land is in the plan, and we were expanding, you know. When you do it like that, you can't help but see the blessings of God manifest itself in your life. So without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. You know, when you sow up, the blessing will come down. If you don't follow protocol or proper protocol in honoring the gift or the apostolic gift, then what's on them will not come on you. The anointing that's on their lives will not come upon your lives because of a lack of honor. You know, it's about just, Lord, I want to just be here to be a blessing. When God calls you somewhere, it's because he's calling you there because he wants to sustain you. You know, he wants to pour his blessing upon you as you're obedient to walk in his call and to walk under the authority and the man of God or the pastor or the woman of God that God calls you to. And that's so very important. Okay, here's a good truth principle here. Submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. If you submit to the Lord, miracles will take place. When you submit properly, you can't help but see miracles take place in your life, blessings take place in your life. You know, submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural to take place in your life when you submit properly. And that's so very important. Always, always submit. The Holy Spirit power flows through our willingness to yield and to submit to authority. And when you yield properly, see, all of that's a part of protocol, is yielding properly, is flowing properly, you know, and when that happens, you can't help but be blessed. All right, let me move on. The seventh way to build honor is through giving. And even though we were talking about it, but the scripture says in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst forth with new wine. Sowing a financial seed into the anointed or anointed Saul. And this is the key here. You know, not all Saul is fertile. And you definitely have to find fertile soil when you sow, you know. And once you find fertile soil, it's going to produce a harvest, you know. That's so very important. Giving always builds honor. But like I said, upward giving will yield greater results. But in either case, you must sow. And the key here is hearing from God. I try never to give out of a reaction, you know, unless the Lord said, get in the flow. If he said, get in the flow, I'm in the flow. But I'm always listening to God, Lord, you know. And then, you know, me and my wife, we read the scripture about, in Malachi, you know, 10% tithes and offering. So we look at our offering just as importantly as our tithe. I mean, every Sunday is going to be a tithe and an offering, not just a tithe and then later on an offering. No, it's tithe and offering every Sunday. You know, I mean, we set aside a special, dedicated offering every Sunday, you know, to the man of God. You know, in addition to the tithe, because the Bible says, "Where have you robbed me?" In tithes and offering. So, Lord, we're not going to rob you in tithes and offering. We're going to make sure that the offering is there along with the tithe, you know, because the tithe actually puts you in a position for the blessing. But when you give offering that's over and above the tithe, that puts you in a position now for the blessing to come quicker and in abundance. You know, it does, because it's tithing is obedience, you know. That's giving God what's already his, and that's out of, you know. But when you now couple that by putting offering behind it and consistently, it just speeds up the process. Well, I know that for a fact. It speeds up the process. Amen. Your gift will make room for you and come back in a harvest of honor. It is important that we understand where to give and how to give. You know, like what soil to give in and how to give. In other words, how do you, you know, I want to make sure I'm not a flamboyant person. I'll just do something real subtle, you know, but however, Lord, however you want me to do it, Lord, that's how I'm going. Sometimes I'm sitting in my chair with my seed, Lord, you know, just let me know when, how you want me to do it. You know, because I want to make sure that my presentation is right and also my heart is right. And that's so very important. It's, you know, because it's, you know, you're giving to God and it's a lesson in obedience. You know, it's a lesson in obedience. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. Like I said, we are required to give 10% of our increase and offering as God has blessed us. But there are times when God will open opportunities to sow honor into a minister or a man of God, you know, and when those opportunities come, you need to be able to hear God and respond properly. Amen. All right, let's move on. The eighth way of building honor is protecting your leader. Protecting your leader. The eighth way to build honor is to protect your leader. In Esther chapter 6, 1 through 3, the Bible says, and I'm kind of paraphrase some of it. It says in verse 1, there was a night when the king could not sleep. And so he asked them to bring the records or the chronicles of the nation. Somebody came to read what was written. And it was told that Mordecai had actually stopped an assassination attempt on the king's life. There were some people who were plotting to kill the king, but Mordecai intercepted it and he stopped an assassination. And it says, and the king said in verse 3 of Esther chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 3 says, what honor and dignity was done for this man for coming against the assassination attempt on my life? And they said, well, he was not honored. Here's the principle. Protecting your leader builds honor. You know, Mordecai was saying, well, you know, why haven't any honor been bestowed upon him? Because he's looking out after me. I'm his leader, and he's looking out after me. You know, when you're assigned, one of the things I'm very mindful of, when I'm in a church service, I'm looking at, and people say, you look like you're always looking around. I'm looking for anything that's suspicious, that's not, you know, sometimes we have new members and people, and I don't know what people's motives are. So I'm constantly looking. And if I see something suspicious, I'll report it in a minute, you know, because I know when a ministry begins to progress and the anointing of God is upon a man of God and things are on the increase, the enemy will try to bring in his little deceivers to come in and just spoil it. You know, so it's very important that, you know, watching, you know, protecting the anointing that's on your man of God's life. I see we have a security guy here. I know when they're in their position, they're watching. They're looking because, you know, they know their job is to protect the anointing, protect the man of God. When you protect the man of God, you're protecting the anointing. You know, that's so very important. You know, even in areas of just doing things in ministry that the man of God doesn't have to do, you know, certain responsibilities that he delegates, you know, so that now he can not have to wait on tables or go through whatever program that you can handle, so that he can be separated to God and don't have to, all he knows is being handled. You know, that's protecting the anointing. You know, the jet protects the anointing because now he doesn't have to go through the airport. He doesn't have to go through the metal detector. He doesn't have to take his shoes off. You know, he used the word earlier, vexed. Don't want to, you know, whatever you do to keep your pastor, you know, the first lady, the first family from being vexed, you're protecting their anointing. And that produces honor. You know, don't take it lightly when, you know, you're the one that's carrying the Bible or the purse, you know, or making sure that they have their seat. You know, that's something they don't have to worry about. They can come in and hear the word and get full. So now when they get full from the apostolic, they can go back and bring it to their churches. You know, all of that is, you know, being an armor bearer, that's protecting the anointing. Protecting the anointing, you know, when they want to, one of my first lessons concerning that, and my time is being spent, but I want to share this. Apostle gave me the assignment this 20, 25 years ago, maybe 26, a long time. We were having a celebration, and Helen Bale and her husband, she was going to be singing and ministering at the celebration. And it was my wife and I job to pick her up from the airport. And make sure, and one of the things he told me says, once you bring it to the Hilton and they give you the room, you open the door, you go in, and you inspect the room. Make sure that everything is in order, you know. Make sure that before you bring them to the hotel, ask them, do you need me to stop anywhere to get anything? You know, and sure enough, Miss Baylor wanted to stop at a drugstore, so we did. We asked her what she needed. My wife went out there and got it. You know, she gave her money. No, here it is, ma'am. You know, and even the thing about it was, the flight was actually not, it wasn't delayed, but she had left some things before she got to the airport, leaving out of Los Angeles, so they had to take another flight. And we were told the flight was going to come in like 4:30, 5 o'clock, but they ended up coming in at 12, the last flight out of L.A. into New Orleans. I never forget that. So we had to adjust our schedule. So we ended up finding a hotel next to the airport, going, laying down, taking a nap for a couple of hours, got up at 10:30, 10:45. And so when they came down the tarmac there, we were waiting on them. You know, that wasn't in the assignment, but it was in the assignment. You know, it wasn't stated, but you do whatever it takes. And that's one of the things I've learned, you know, protecting the anointing, serving your man of God, and just, you know, and you're going to make mistakes, but the thing about it is you learn from those mistakes and you grow from them. Amen? All right, my time is just moving. 8 minutes. All right. So we talked about protecting the anointing. Okay, let's move on now to the ninth way to build honor. Worship and prayer builds honor. In Psalms 109:6, it says, "Let the high praises of God be in my mouth as a two-edged sword, to execute vengeance upon the heathens and punishment upon the people, to bind the kings and the chains and their nobles with feathers of iron." That's Psalms 149, verse 6. To execute upon the judgment written, this honor has all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. You know, in prayer and in worship, you know, because praise and worship go together. When you're praying for your man of God, you know, that's an area of protecting the anointing, but it also brings honor to you. Because one of the things I've learned is you never want to start any spiritual endeavor that you can't undergird with prayer. So prayer is the foundation for any spiritual endeavor. And so when you're praying for your man of God, praying for the church, praying for the vision, you know, you're producing honor in your life, because now the Bible says one is set 1,000 of flight, two is set 10,000. And so now as 20 and 30 and 40 people get together through prayer and worship and thanking God, you know, you're producing honor in your life. In other words, God is not going to forget that labor of love and that devotion and that integrity and that commitment that you have. You know, I scringe when people look at prayer very lightly. You know, one of the things I was really excited about this last a visionary impartation conference, Apostle, I'm not going to say he made it mandatory, but he said, I want my leaders to be in prayer. He says, ministers, you need. And, you know, it changed the atmosphere. Because when you leave out of prayer, everybody's on one accord and flowing together as a symphony. You know, it's not a good idea to get involved in a whole lot of petty talk. And I mean, chit chat is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But there is a time for that. Do that at lunch, you know. But when you come into a major meeting, you know, be prayed up. You know, when an apostle walked in the room, he said, let's pray, you know. He set an atmosphere. You know, prayer will set the atmosphere. And so when the atmosphere is set, I mean, that's when the Holy Spirit's going to move, because you've made a demand on his ability. You came before God in praise and worship and prayer, and you make your request known to God. And now the Holy Spirit, you're giving him an atmosphere that he can work through. And that's why it's so very important. So, you know, prayer along with worship will build honor. Amen? Trying to see if I'm not missing anything that's important. Prayerful people and people that know how to worship God will always make sure that they are, you know, God will always make sure that they are honored. Platforms are created for people that pray, and people that know how to worship, platforms will be created for them. All right, let's move on. Praise and worship. Listen to this. Turn with me to Psalms 8 and 2. In Psalms 8 and 2, it says, "Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." That's Psalms 8 and 2. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength. You know, that's in reference to you know, praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, And because of thine enemies, thou might still. When you're in praise and worship, you know, the enemy is being stilled. You'll stop him in his tracks. Still the enemy and avenger. Praise and worship has ordained strength because of thine enemies. It steals the enemy and the avenger from advancing. It just halts him in his tracks because when you pray, the Bible says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation? It's talking about the angels. When you pray, you're summoning angels now to go and to do what was coming out of your mouth, you know. All the battles are fought in the courts of heaven. They're fought in the heavenlies, you know. It'll manifest itself on the earth where you can see it. But the real battle is fought with prayer warriors and people going before and pulling down the strongholds, pulling down all the enemy's tactics. So that, you know, I mean, with Jehoshaphat and the praises, he set the praises before him, the army. You know, and they went around the marched around the wall praising God, you know. And basically the walls just came down. Why? Because the prayer that was brought up, you know, did the job. You know, amen. Let's move on. Okay, number 10, I think that's where we're at. Understanding covering is the 10th way. It's so very important that you understand your covering and who's covering you. You know, who's your pastor, you know, and why am I covering? And why is the covering so important? We need to know who's covering us and why. It is important. It's not just important to have a covering. You have to know why. Because strength and honor are your covering. I didn't read the scripture, but Proverbs 31:23 is talking about. I got 2 minutes. It says, "Her husband is known in the gates. When she sits among the elders of the land, she makes fair linen and sells it, and delightful girdles upon the merchants." Strength and honor are her covering. So the way to build honor is understanding your covering. You know, understanding, you know, that my pastor, my man of God, is praying for me. I'm aligned properly, and I wanted to bring an umbrella, but I mean, if I even act like I'm holding one, you understand the principle of the umbrella protecting you from the rain. You know, I used to work in industry, and we used to have to wear, if we went in certain types of environments, we had to wear a certain type of a suit that was chemical resistant, and it had air, when you have an air mass, and so it was protecting it. So that suit was my covering that protected me. I could go into a contaminated area and do work for 30 minutes, depending on how much fresh air I had, or if I had a line, I could go there pretty much and stay there for a while. But it was a covering that kept the outside encroachment from coming in and contaminating my lungs and all my vital organs, and to keep me alive. You know, your pastor, your man of God, your apostle, there are people who would not be alive today if it wasn't for a covering. If it wasn't for that covering that protected them, that girded them and kept, you know, and kept life flowing into them. You know, so you have to know, I'm going to read this, I got 35 seconds. You need to know who covers you and why. It is not enough just to have a covering or just to say I have a covering and don't know what the covering is doing. You know, and it does matter who is your covering. You know, make sure you have a solid covering that, you know, a man of God that's praying for you and that's you know, always got you on, and the rest of the congregation on their heart. You need to know why, because strength and honor are her covering, are her clothing, are your clothing, really. In other words, individuals that don't know how they are covered, they're not going to develop honor. Because, see, honor comes from knowing I can go places and do things and my time just run out because I know I'm covered by my man of God. And especially if you've been authorized to do something That's even makes it even all the better because, you know, I got my credentials to do what I need to do just by him saying, "You got it, son."
Amen.
Amen.